ITS Coffee Break for Thursday, May 15th, 2008.
On this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we have lots of Moodle updates. We have information for new student CDs that are going out later this month. In tech news, we'll be talking about Twitter on the Hill, not College Hill, but the Big Hill. We'll talk about Open Office and some information about Google Reader that may come in handy over the summer.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name is Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And first off, we got to let everybody know what they've been asking, right? Well, they've probably been asking you. They haven't really been asking me.
When are Moodle course sites going to be ready for summer and fall?
And the answer is now.
The time has already passed.
That's right. They were baked fresh on Monday.
That's right. So any of you faculty who are wanting to get an early start on fall courses, or if you're teaching a summer course that starts soon, you have access to your courses now. Now, for students, remember, if you are a student in a summer course, you have already been enrolled because we are in the 2 week
prior to...
summer term one. So if you know that you're supposed to have a Moodle access to a course and you're not seeing it, you may want to verify with your instructor, because remember, faculty, you control the availability of your courses, and so you'll need to go and make those active.
Right. So the other big Moodle news is that we are actively, as of this week, starting to work on Moodle 1.9, which is the latest and greatest version of Moodle. We've talked about it a little bit in the past, but now we actually have time to work on it now that the semester is kind of winding down.
That's right. We actually just had a Moodle showcase on Wednesday the 14th, and we had about 8 faculty presenting just little snippets from their courses. And before we got started with that, I had created a little handy-dandy sort of blurbs about some of the new features, and they are really cool.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess I get excited about the littlest thing, but there's now a button at the bottom of every page, it seems like, that says save and return to course. And that means you don't have to, like, open the PowerPoint or
the whole I just uploaded a PowerPoint. Ugh. Now it's stuck me on this page and
downloaded a file.
Yeah,
and it's
all
wonderful.
That stuff's been fixed. You'll be able to import grades into the gradebook. There's some things we're still not quite liking, but, you know, we have a lot of work to do just to kind of figure things out. So some of those things that we need to think about are tagging in Moodle and exactly what that's supposed to do. Because we know it tags, we just don't know exactly how they work. Let's see, the new gradebook, which we already mentioned. Groups of groups.
Right.
What does that do?
Groupings. So basically, if you have different groups throughout the semester, so let's say you have peer review partners for one assignment and then different peer review partners for another assignment, and then maybe you have a group project that's going on throughout the semester, you can actually set up 3 different groups with groups in those.
Nice.
So it's very nice. And then you can assign a certain grouping to that assignment.
Cool. And then the other thing is the Ajax stuff looks like it's ready for prime time, so you'll be able to drag components around your site. We haven't really worked up with it yet, but it's in there, so we just have to see if our theme's going to work with it.
Yeah.
But that should make life a little bit easier. We experimented with it previously, but it was still experimental, so now it's finally come out of experimental. And there's a gazillion other things, so...
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is back-end sort of stuff that people won't necessarily notice, but it's going to provide a better experience for everyone.
Like stats. The whole stats
module.
And this is my personal pet peeve. We've run into a little bit of... I don't want to say snafus, but some odd behavior late in the semester. And the stats module in Moodle 1.9 is much better. It's much better at crunching data. It will actually crunch the logs that our current version of Moodle hasn't been doing a great job with. So all in all, a lot of good stuff to look forward to.
That's right. So in other news, shifting gears slightly, the new student CDs that we generally send out to all incoming students, they are here, and they are ready for network IDs and passwords, and those will be sent later this month. So if you're a new student or a parent of a new student and you're listening to the podcast, check your mail probably around the end of next week, so around the 23rd or even Monday the 26th. But definitely by June 1st, you should have that in the mail.
And if you haven't gotten enough of our melodious voices, you'll be able to hear our special edition ITS Coffee Break for new students on the CD.
That's right. And so. it's not quite as punchy as this one may end up being.
So it's a bit more scripted.
Yeah, and we did it when we were less tired, too. So it's been a rough week.
It has. It's been a really long week.
And there was an outage on... We're actually recording on Wednesday, and as most of you have sort of begun to realize, we have outages on Wednesday mornings, and Ken's involved, and I don't know why I come in so early. But
yeah, it's been a long day. So yeah. Now, the one last thing we want to talk about for ITS News, since the question was arisen after we got a new domain for the ITS site, which is its.lafayette.edu. And there's actually a couple of sites at Lafayette. I can't believe I almost said Drew.
Oh,
it's odd. You know, it's been like three years since I worked at Drew. But anyway,
tisk.
We've got moodle.lafayette.edu. We have itunes.lafayette.edu. So this has logically given rise to the question of, well, can I have geology.lafayette.edu? And the short answer is not yet. It's something we're working on, and it's something we'd like to be able to have people do when we get done rebuilding WW2, which is a community web server. We'd like for everybody to be able to do it because it makes life a lot easier, and then you don't have to explain to folks what the heck a tilde is.
Right.
But we're not ready for it yet. So we're not ready for it in a scalable way that we can easily do for everybody on campus. But that is our intention, that at least departments would be able to have that kind of a naming convention. So just keep posted. I mean, we'll keep you posted about how we're progressing with that. All right, in tech news this week, a little bit more Twitter stuff.
But this is really fascinating, I think.
I do think it's pretty cool. And thank you to Rebecca Metzger for telling us about this. Apparently, the House of Representatives and the Senate are Twittering.
Right.
So they use Twitter to report live events. So the Senate reports votes while the House reports all floor activity, which is pretty nifty. So you can, the Senate, I only checked out the Senate one. I didn't go and check out the House one too. But this will let you know when a bill is on the floor, and then it includes a hyperlink to the entry for that particular piece of legislation, I think within Thomas. I didn't pay too much attention to the URL, but I'm assuming it's within Thomas.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
It's very cool. So if you don't have a Twitter account, this may be your chance to sort of jump in if this is intriguing to you. Basically, what you'll want to do is register for a free Twitter account, and then you'll want to follow this information. So this is sort of the terminology that's used with Twitter, is that you follow people and people follow you. So it's pretty interesting. If anybody signs up, let us know.
Yeah, we'll have links in the show notes. The Senate one is called twitter.com/Senate Floor, and the House one is called twitter.com/House Floor. And the other cool thing about this is, even if you don't want to create a Twitter account, you can still follow along because it generates an RSS feed.
This is true.
So you can just subscribe to the feed for the Twittering, and you can still consume it without having to deal with all of the conversation within Twitter. But I thought it was pretty interesting.
So I can totally see that a Gov Law course
next
semester should add this
as
an RSS block to their Moodle course.
Yes.
So any of you GovLaw faculty that are listening, just watch out, because one of us will be at your doorstep, or we'll send Anna Lors, your librarian, over and get her on it.
That's right. We'll have to make sure that she knows about this.
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Know if we've talked to her about it just yet, but
yeah.
You know, Rebecca's probably shared it with her.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Very cool. So just another reason why, if you haven't jumped into Twitter, you may want to.
Yeah, I think it's becoming increasingly useful.
It really is. I mean, I have added some additional people to follow recently, and it's just really sort of revolutionized the way that I think about work, because I'm more interactive with people who either I've met or I know their name, or people that I just don't know. I just come across them and follow them, and they put up interesting things.
And I think it's also interesting to follow colleagues at, I've had some interesting cross-pollination. I have friends who are at other institutions, so I can follow kind of what they're working on through the course of the day. So that's kind of cool to see, you know, what Baron and Joe and such are doing. But then it's also interesting to start to see the interaction between my friends who are, like, in higher education and then my friends who are in the more geeky pursuits, you know, and starting to, and then I have a couple of Lehigh Valley people mixed in there, and it's just interesting to see how it kind of all cross-pollinates.
Yeah, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, but I have basically three friends who right now are in some form of stay-at-home parenting, whether that's part or full-time, and they were actually the first three that I got onto Twitter because I just thought it would be funny to keep up with them, and it has really spawned some interesting conversations because half the time they have no idea what I'm talking about, and half the time their conversations are really entertaining too, so I'm not sure that they've jumped on to other people that I follow per se, but it's definitely led to some great conversations.
Well, and then I've had like just surprises, like people whom I know from podcasting and in geeky pursuits turned out to be in higher education too. So I've had a couple of offline emails from one of the guys who I'm friends with who is emailing me questions about work because we both work at universities, you know? So that's, it's just cool. It's exposing some interesting things. Yep. So
if you get onto Twitter and you need to find people to follow, you can follow Courtney B. And I'm not sure that I'm really entertaining, but you can keep up with me.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm New Kavik. Mine's
just go to mine, and eventually I'll say something to Ken.
That's
and you'll
right.
Find
it's
me.
Easier to follow Courtney B. But anyway, the other thing we just want to mention in tech news, this is big for open source folks. The OpenOffice 3.0 beta is available for download, which is available for Windows, Linux, and now natively for Mac, which is kind of a big deal. Previously, you had to run it through, why can't I think of the name of the program that you had to run it through? X11. It would run on the Mac, but you had to run it through X11 in order to get it to work. Nowadays, you don't have to do that anymore. You can do a direct download that will just run right off the bat from in OS X. I was just playing around with it. It still seems a little slow.
Yeah.
I think NeoOffice, which is the Mac native port of OpenOffice, is still probably faster. I don't know. I just need to kind of sit it down and, I don't know, maybe write an article or something in OpenOffice and see how fast it is on the Mac. It looks pretty, but it just seemed a little slow. So in help news this week, I have basically another RSS tip dealing with Google Reader, and that is shared notes. So we've kind of talked a couple of times about different ways to generate RSS feeds to suck stuff into Moodle or wherever else you might want to share an RSS feed. And this is basically going to end up being another way of doing it. So what we talked about before is with Google Reader, you can subscribe to a bunch of RSS feeds. Then you can click a little share icon on the individual items within that feed, and that generates a feed of your own, which you could then suck into, say, Moodle or something else. This takes it a step further because the limitation there was, well, you're only going to be able to share stuff that shows up in one of your feeds. If it's something you just kind of came across while you were out on the web, tough luck. It's not going to be able to get in there. Except now you can, because you can have this, you can either copy the URL and go into Google Reader and add the link that way, or you can add a little button to your Firefox browser, and then when you're at a web page, you just click the button, and then boom, it launches into Google Reader and makes note of the URL. And then you can type a little text note describing the entry that you just added to the feed.
Very nice.
All of which shows up in your shared feed.
Very, very helpful.
I think so.
So one of my goals for the summer is to get organized, and I think this is one of the things I'm going to do. I'm going to launch back into a reader. I'm going to use Google Reader this time, and I'm going to start doing some more of this stuff.
It is the more efficient way to do it,
right.
I found. I mean, I really haven't looked back. I used to use NetNewsWire. I never thought anything could replace it, but Reader is just so freaking useful. And the other nice thing about Reader that people may or may not know is that it has an offline mode. So you can just click the offline mode, download all your feeds to your computer, and then if you're on a plane ride or, you know, traveling or whatever, you can still get caught up on all your feeds.
So I don't have to pay the $8 at the airport to get online?
Exactly.
Sweet.
So the last time we went, whatever trip that was, we last went on Nightly Summit in San Francisco.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I did. I made sure I downloaded all my feeds before I go, and now I've got good reading material. So
excellent, excellent.
I wholeheartedly recommend Google Reader.
Well, in other help news, we just posted the summer workshop series. We've got lots of stuff in there. I hope that if you are on our campus, you already received an email from me giving you some additional information. The calendar is up. We've got lots of Moodle quick starts coming up, one on the 21st, one on the 22nd. We've got some Openio things, the basic Openio workshop, as well as a new one that's Openio reporting. Later on in the summer, we are going to do some new Moodle ones, one on totally on the gradebook and how to use that and outcomes and all that good stuff, and one on basically just sort of an overview of what's new and sort of how to begin using those features. So hope that if you're on our campus, you will join us for one of these workshops. Hope if you are not on your campus, you're insanely jealous of what you're missing. As always, it's wonderful to be with you. Thanks for listening. We're always looking for feedback, comments, heckles, snide comments, remarks. So feel free to email us at itsblog@lafayette.edu.